Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
That's the wrong music. This is the right music for today.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling.
My boy Bradley Cooper.
Times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I feel.
You know, I saw him interviewed, and the guy says, "So, what is this movie about?" First word out of his mouth, trauma. Boop!
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore?
So hardcore. I like music. I don't know shit about it, really. I mean, I'd listen to what my ear likes, right? But Colleen at one point took up playing the cello. And I think that's what this is that rolls in behind Lady Gaga when you hear it. You want to talk about awesome, something that sounds great and adds, like, you could feel it, right?
Something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void?
Here it comes.
Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling.
Not that I've listened to it a lot or anything like that. Colleen and I finished watching the movie last night. So we started watching. She's like, "I don't like this." And so we skipped the part where he goes on stage and screws her award up. But I had, I don't know why, but I didn't recall the movie right. I don't even know if I've seen the end of it, honestly. Because in this version of it, right, in the Kris Kristofferson, Barbara Streisand version, you know, he gets in his car, turns the music up, and goes out of control and dies. In this version, he hangs himself, and I honestly don't recall seeing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so then we were, Colleen and I were talking about the movie. And, you know, you get little snippets as he develops his character throughout, right? Alcoholic father, tries to hang himself from the chandelier. Not the chandelier, from the fan. The fan rips out of the ceiling, hits him in the head. Father never notices, right? Father drunk. And so you get snippets along the way of, you know, him self-medicating himself. So you know, it's a movie about trauma. And none of that is what I honestly, I just liked the song, so I started listening to it. And then I've kind of followed the song into interviews and then whatnot. So just interesting stuff. Called one of my former staff sergeants this morning. A couple weeks ago, he posted something about, you know, PTSD that he deals with on something. And I saw it, but I've been pretty busy the last couple weeks. And I just made a mental note, you know, to call him. So I sent him a message this morning. I said, hey, I want to talk to you. I saw something you posted a couple weeks ago. And I want to give me a call sometime today. So he calls me 5 minutes later. Hey, sir, what's up? So we had a short conversation as I was cleaning my kitchen and getting ready to come in here. I said, let me call you back later on today. And I want to show you something that's going to change your life. And he said, he's Samoan. So he's a big dude. You know, like Samoans are in the Marine Corps pretty interesting guys. Most of them are gigantic, man. They are gigantic. And they're intimidating. You know, and the culture is very religious. And so there are these big, motivated dudes that are religious. And they're awesome people. You know, at least the ones I've met in the Marine Corps. They're great dudes. And they are nobody to be messed with, right? when they look at Marines and say, do this. Right, and not all of them speak the best language, the best English, right? But everybody knows what they mean. Pretty funny. And he is out of that mold, right? But his Marines loved him because he loved them, and they knew it. And but he put up with not one ounce of bullshit. Already been a good morning. And today I gotta brine my turkey for and do that overnight. Get the stuffing ready. So, I'm cooking this year. So I cook most years now. I don't mind it at all. In fact, I enjoy it. And, again, the art form is the gravy. So if you haven't listened the past couple of days, the chef came on Monday, talked about brining your turkey. You should listen to that. And then yesterday, right, you know, the timeline of Thanksgiving. So on Thursday, you know, all your side dishes are already made. All you got to do is, you know, maintain the time sequence for that and know what it is. He also, you know, he doesn't even realize it sometimes, and he says really smart stuff about cooking that help people. One of the problems with cooking Thanksgiving, right, you got the potatoes on the oven. If you're making peas or something else, you got the potatoes on the stove, you got the peas on the stove, you know, you're pulling the turkey out, right? Crazy time in the kitchen. And Kim says, yeah, well, you could, there's a way to diffuse that, and that is use crock pots. And I remember the first time he said it, I said, what? He said, yeah, use crock pots. Do the potatoes early, and then just throw them in a crock pot and, you know, put it on low. And then, you know, 5 minutes before you serve it, you know, put it on, you know, medium low. And heat them up a little bit more, and boom, front row. I said, you know what? You are a genius. You are a genius. And then he bombs, you know, and then, you know, he also bombed out, you know, you have backup gravy. He said, look, I know, you know, nobody wants to go to that backup, but if you have a disaster with the gravy, then you have plan B, and it's not going to ruin the dinner. But let me tell you this. If you follow his steps with gravy, it lights out. You know, and really the key is, you know, what's the biggest problem with gravy? Not having enough juices. So what he tells you is coat the bottom of your baking pan. You know, put like a quarter inch of chicken broth in there. And then some of that will evaporate. But when your turkey juices come out, they'll just blend in with that juice, replace what evaporates, and then you'll have all that stock at the end of it. And then, you know, then you just thicken it and season it to taste. Yeah, how about that? utterly brilliant. Because, you know, you've seen people try to save gravy, right? Not enough juice out of the turkey, goes into the pan, turns dark, dark brown, and burns. And they're trying to, you know, revive it by whisking it off the, you know, with using the mix of flour, cornstarch, whatever you use, Wondra, and water, right? They're trying to whisk that stuff, and so the gravy takes on a very, very dark brown color because some of it's, you know, been scorched. Yeah, Kim saves you from all that. And so really it makes the, you know, it makes the art of dressing, I mean, the art of gravy, which is really, it's the key thing, because the turkey's kind of a no-brainer. The vegetables, mashed potatoes, that's, I mean, even a dope like me, I mean, I can do that. The yams, come on, yams. So all that. And so really the focus of the whole afternoon is the gravy, the gravy, the gravy. So if you missed yesterday's show, throw that on while you're messing around today, and you will get a sense of Kim. You know, the other thing that he talks about, and we never talked about it in the depth we talked about it yesterday, was his grandmother was the food editor at Ladies Home Journal, right? Back in the day when that was the publication. And so he talked about that, you know, that they had, you know, a flat in Manhattan, you know, pretty nice. They also had a farm in New Jersey. So Kim talked about that in probably more depth than I've ever heard him talk about it. So I would check that out on this eve of Thanksgiving. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to, you're going to hear from a whole bunch of people today. Not a whole bunch. You're going to hear from a few people that, you know, I thought, you know what, I should haul these people on and just shoot the shit with them for a few minutes. So that's what I'm going to do. You're going to, my boy Matt Kiker, you're going to hear from him this morning. And so you'll hear from Matt, and you also, I mean, you'll hear from two people that really were instrumental in launching all of this, this whole post-traumatic winning thing. And, you know, the first person I ever, you know, I mean, it was a process of discovery. So in my head, I have this idea after doing all the interviews I'd done for 2 years and all the stuff I'd learned. So, you know, I'm listening, and essentially what it was I'm listening to the same story, a different variation of the same story over and over and over and over and over for 2 years. And then it occurs to me, like, I need to share this, because if people knew that this is what most people are doing, I mean, if they knew it, they would, you know, they'll be able to adjust their lives. And if they understand these truths, right? If they understand these truths, then F-18 man is going to fry a turkey. Have a backup turkey, bro. That ends in disaster all the time. So, no, up in North Dakota, that was a big thing. Deep fat fry a turkey. Right? Deep fry a turkey. And I could tell you some unmitigated disaster stories. But anyway, so I have it in my head, right, that this information I'm going to give people. Actually, F-18 man, I've been waiting to hear from him. He's doing the Lord's work right now, man. And I'll just leave it at that. But he's hopefully helping some people right now. So I have this information in my head that I feel like, you know, well, if I can get this to people, it will help them. But I don't really know about the winning part of post-traumatic winning. This is kind of like post-traumatic information that will help you. That's where I was. And then, so you're going to hear from, you'll hear from Matt Kiker today. And, but before there was Matt Kiker, there was Luke, right? Luke Weichel and Luke in Huntsville, Alabama. So, the sequence of events is I have this information in my head, and just by coincidence, Luke had started listening to the program, And then he would email me late at night when he'd be drinking, and you know the crazy ass ramblings of a you know, I think Luke was a corporal when he got out, and he's been out of the Marine Corps for about 8 years, and it's not going good, alcohol and all the stuff and all of that. I mean, and again, what I would say is very typical of the way people deal with trauma, and so. And then it gets worse. So then the emails get worse to the point where I pick up the phone and I call him. And that's like, you've heard me tell the story before, but you know, I tell him, hey man, you got to stop drinking. And he says, I know. And then I say, no, I'm giving you an order to stop drinking, which is kind of stupid, but, it's what I thought of to say. And he just said, yes, sir. And he stops drinking. And in retrospect, you know, I was for Luke what my company Gunny was for me. It was somebody of, I think, great credibility in his life, as my gunny was in my life, who looked and told me something that I probably knew was true, but it shocked me to hear. So when my gunny tells me, you know, you're never going to get over this, you know, I didn't understand it because I hadn't lived in that place, right? And but then I did, but I didn't doubt it because of who he was. And I think that's a huge part of post-traumatic winning. When somebody who has incredible, who loves you, has incredible credibility in your eyes, comes to you and looks you straight in the face and tells you something that you don't understand, what do? You tend to take that shit to the bank because of their credibility in your life. And so I mean, and again, Luke's a great guy, but he's struggling. He's and essentially he's lost because he doesn't see the way through. Well, anyway. You know, Luke stops drinking, and then that act of his act of stopping to drink essentially precipitates my introduction to the winning part of this, right? So that's how it gets from post-traumatic information to post-traumatic winning, and that is the conversation I have with his mom months later when she thanks me, and I tell her you don't need to. So you'll hear from Luke today, and you'll hear from Libby. So we'll just find out what's going on. Shoot the shit with them for a few minutes here on the eve of Thanksgiving. There's kind of a Thanksgiving controversy about celery in dressing. I don't find it much of a controversy. Like, what is celery good for? Have you ever heard these words out of somebody's mouth? God, I am dying for celery. Nobody said that in the history of mankind. You know? Celery sucks. You know, and to put it in dressing, something, you know, that you like. Now, I imagine if you grew up with it, right? You know, I mean, people are emotionally welded to that. So I got that, you know, you should, but I mean, for everybody who feels like that, like, oh, celery, thank God your mother didn't put barbed wire in your dressing. You'd be eating that now too. Bunch of rubes. But anyway, I get it. It's emotional attachment. It's not like for its culinary, oh my God, celery tastes so good. It sucks, man. So anyway, yeah, there's a bit of that controversy, and I get it. It's kind of like the iPhone. The iPhone sucks as a phone, just so all you iPhone people know that. I've had mine for like 3 months. I look at it with scorn, right? And I think an iPhone appeals to simpletons because I can put emojis and different things with my text messaging. There you go. The rest of the things that you should be able to do with that electronic device, you have no idea because that thing sucks. But I know it's kind of like celery in dressing. If you tell somebody who owns an iPhone that their phone sucks, oh my God, they'll straight up piss their pants right in front of you. And you look and you say, did you just wet your pants? And they say, yes, I did. It's kind of like when you tell people Barack Obama sucked as a president. They are like devastated. how could you say that? No, no, he seems like a wonderful guy, right? He enables Iran. The money that he sent to Iran, that deal he cuts, finances the war in Yemen and their operations in Syria. He bent over to the Chinese and gave them the Western Pacific. He ruled by executive order, and it all got undone by the subsequent president. And you know, the famous pictures of Hillary Clinton with the reset button with the Russians, getting played like a mandolin, like Vladimir Putin. NATO, nobody's paying their fair share. I mean, but if you know, people just are aghast. Barack Obama, I know he's a really nice guy, but he sucked as a president, okay? I mean, can you not come to grips with that? Answer is no, they can't. Same thing, like, your iPhone sucks. I promise you. Go buy an Android phone and just watch it, all the different things you can do with that phone. Your jaw will be on the ground. Yeah, but I know you probably won't do that. And celery and dressing, functionless. It's ridiculous. You should slap yourself. But again, I know you can't question any of this shit, and I'm okay with that. So, yeah, F-18 man gripping celery too. But see, at least he says, I think it's a texture thing. He says, I like my iPhone too. Trust me, he's a simpleton, and his Marine Corps right emblem is crooked still on his truck. So. He's got issues, right? And if you think an iPhone's a good phone, and let me just tell you, I'm one of the few people with the courage to buy the other device and actually give it a shot. Ask these other people. You owned an Android phone in the last 5 years? And the answer is, oh, no. The iPhone is a fashion statement for superficial people. And if he's an aviator, what do you know? There's a lot of superficial in those motherfuckers, okay? Yeah, and they know it. That's what the iPhone is. Have you actually tried test drove the other one? No. Okay. Cállate. Okay. So he agrees with me on celery. He agrees with me on Obama. Okay. Where does that take us with the cell phone discussion? Mac, you're one of the few people I know that had the courage to say, well, let me buy an iPhone and see what it's all about. And then mess with it because I love technology. And then conclude, like, this thing fucking sucks, man. This thing is a piece of shit. I'm telling you. It's just the truth. But, no, so on that note, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Yeah. Don't be afraid to open the windows, right, in your little treehouse fortress, yeah, and test out other things. Don't be afraid. Fear not, my children, right? Fear not. Today's Friday on the program because I'm not working on Friday. I don't exactly know what I'm doing, but I'll probably be doing something to entertain my daughters. So Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. Good morning to you. Come on, man. She sings the shit out of that, right? And this is dedicated to everybody's Thanksgiving. I think it's one of the coolest holidays of the year. And make time certainly to think about all the blessings you have in your life. And in spite of all, I mean, let me tell you, last year sucked. It's not been easy, but you know, I can tell you from just the work I do. You know, I'll tell you this real quick. I got a text message last night. Hey Mac, I saw you last week. My girl was raped years ago, and you know, she goes into this black place, and you know, I don't know what to do, and it's awful sometimes, and could you help her? And I said, yeah, I can. I said, no, look, what I can help with is the trauma side and living it, right? I'm not a rape counselor or anything like that. And I said, but I think so much of, you know, the aftermath is I can't get over it. And I said, and what you're going to help me provide her with is a warm place where she can go. I said, you know, I said, and you sat through the class. What happens if she can use what she's been through to help other people? Right? And he just got really quiet. And he said, it would change her life. He said, you know, I've been thinking about this since I saw you. And, you know, I've been staring at your number here for a few days, wondering if I should call you. I said, no, man, you did the right thing. And I said, this stuff doesn't happen overnight, just so you know, because, I mean, she's been in that place for years, right? He said, yeah. Yeah. I said, but, you know, my experience is if you tell people the truth, and that's what post-traumatic winning does, straight in your fucking face, and then you challenge them, you can use this, you know, to understand what happened to you. You can use it to make your life better. And then if you give it, you'll transform your life. I said, and all of it's true. And they can see it in the life, and you're gonna see it, hear it in the lives of other people. That here in a minute, Matt Kiker's gonna join us. So no, I mean, even in this past year where, you know, I mean, a lot of people have said it's like I've lost a year out of my life. And you know what? You could make a case for, you know, diminished, certainly less convenient. But you know what? I think most of us will look back and you know, I'm so fortunate in my life. You know, my kids are all healthy. You know, their spouses are all healthy. My grandson's healthy, right? Nobody's exited the planet in the wrong order. So, to me, that's winning. And what I do, post-traumatic winning, certainly got kind of pinched a bit because, you know, you can't get together in groups, so public speaking you can't do. But you know what? YouTube channel, doing it virtually, all those things have happened, and it has continued. You know, I say very proudly that this year in the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing on the East Coast, suicide attempts were down 65%. And so, take a minute to do what I do. which is to understand how lucky we all are to have the lives we have. And then, you know, the other thing is resolve to make it better. You know, I've got to go get fingerprinted as part of my background investigation to become a big brother. And my intent is, I've watched those protests over the course of the summer and the fall, and I thought, you know what? What's my contribution to all this? What's my contribution to, you know, to people that are struggling in the inner city? Well, I can change somebody's life. And so I'm trying to become a big brother so I can do that. So, you know, after you acknowledge, you know, how fortunate you are, you know, what can you do to make it better? And in addition to practicing the good things that post-traumatic winning teaches, look for other opportunities. And again, my experience, the more you give on this planet, in some crazy way, the more you get back. And so resolve to do that. Give more. Do more. And as often as you can, do it as not just by yourself, but with other people in your family and stuff. And that multiplies the goodness. So anyway, it's dedicated to Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday. And I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving, whether you spend it on Zoom a little bit with family and friends or whether you gather or whatever the hell you're doing. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, we'll check the weather and then we'll see if Matthew Kiker is ready. He's moving to Colorado, he told me. Yeah. Always wanted to live there. This is one of the miracles I've met. Luke, you're going to hear from two of them today. Luke's one of them. Matt's another one. These guys are such long shots, it's ridiculous. Anyway. Currently, in Quantico, it's partly sunny and 52 degrees. Down the coast of Camp Lejeune is partly sunny and 65. 29 Palms is sunny and 50, so cold out here on the west coast. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 51. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 70. Down under in Darwin, it is dark cloudy and 81. And in Oslo, Norway, where my oldest is doing something, cloudy and 49. Currently at the home of Auburn Radio, partly sunny and 55 in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. And looking for a high today of 65, 68 on Thanksgiving Day, 69 on Friday, Black Friday, 69 on Saturday, and 70 on Sunday. That is a look at your weather. And we'll take a break. Let me find Matthew Kiker. So don't touch that dial. A fun morning of pre-Thanksgiving radio here. as we kind of get into it on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And again, the cooking timeline, the cooking instructions, all of that on the last couple days of radio here with the chef. So make sure you avail yourself. And honestly, you know how you go to Thanksgiving and you know you stick your head in the kitchen and it looks just so crazy. There's all these people doing all these things. That is not necessary. Yeah. That is not necessary, Grandma. You can. In fact, I was very happy when I called Libby yesterday to come on the program. She answers the phone. She goes, "Mac." I said, "What's going on, Libby? What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm in Bed Bath & Beyond getting a crock pot." I said, "Ah, you listened." She said, "I did." Then she confessed that she hasn't listened in a couple months. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? How are you getting through the day?" She said, "I don't." She said, "I don't know." She said, "I'm struggling without your guidance." I said, "Like I don't hear that a lot." So she didn't actually say that. So we'll take a quick break. I will rouse Matt Kiker, and we will continue this conversation. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. Happy Thanksgiving, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform. So stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis, but sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Why I do this to myself, I do not know. But I think the first two words of this song are hell yeah. Am I right or wrong? Hello?
I would say hell yeah. I usually scream hell yeah when I hear it.
I can hear you saying it, man. Joining me from Mobile. Are you in Mobile today?
Yeah.
From Mobile, Alabama, where I once spent a summer of my life, is Matt Kiker. And you all have got to know Matt and become familiar with his story. So I figured on this Thanksgiving Day, we would check in with his country ass and find out what he was doing. So, first of all, man, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm actually about to get ready to head to my grandmother's and help her out with the food and prepping and cooking.
Do you know anything? Do you know anything about cooking, or are you just a manual laborer there?
No, I actually
tell the
truth about cooking.
Tell the truth, man. Do not come on.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know how to cook. Now, seriously though, I that's something that a lot of people don't know about me. Maybe a few people. I knew back in the barracks, everyone knew that I loved cooking, but they didn't know I actually knew how to cook. But I actually love cooking. Love cooking. Got all kinds of recipes I've made. And then I've had my family's recipe passed down their stuff. And so for Thanksgivings, I always cook the dressing. I'll be making mac and cheese this year with them.
Okay, hold on. Let's talk dressing then. Because I have a kind of major controversy on the show. Do you put celery in your dressing or not?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then we're not going to talk to you anymore because that's stupid, okay?
No, it's not, actually.
It is. So,
are you softening it?
Softening what?
Your vegetables.
What vegetables am I putting in there?
I put parsley. Let me grab my recipe real quick.
Parsley's fine. Celery is not.
Why is that?
Okay, have you ever heard anybody say this in your life? God, I'm really hungry for some celery. Have you ever heard anybody say
that? No. But you don't taste it. It's more of a texture. You don't taste the celery.
Yeah.
It's more of a texture.
Okay, you know what? You're the first person. You're one of the few people that's honest about that. Okay.
No. Fuck celery. I hate celery.
Thank you.
There's not one
thank
time
you,
I've ever.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my new motto. That's my new motto. Fuck celery.
Yeah. Fuck celery. But I mean, you don't taste it. It's more for texture. That little bit of crunch.
Thank you. You know, the one thing you could expect from Matt Kiker is the whole fucking truth. Okay. The one thing I know that you're gonna get from him, and that's how our conversation started with this. This interaction, as he sat down, does it ever stop hurting? Me, no.
No.
Matt, later, you're the first motherfucker that ever said that to me. And that was the only reason I stayed to talk to you. And that's how our relationship began.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm honest. No matter what, I mean, you can either talk to me or talk to someone else. But I always warn them, if you're going to talk to me, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I don't like sugarcoating stuff either.
Well, hey, Matt, when you know, one of the things I think about post-traumatic winning that keeps the door open when somebody wants to talk to you about something, but most of the time it's something they've never talked to anybody about in their life. They're in the dark with it, struggling with it. And the thing that keeps that door open is just telling them the truth because they've had so much bullshit fed to them, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and you were hung over that morning from being drunk the night before, so you go to sleep at whatever time you nod off in the early morning hours. And even in your hungover state, you knew the truth when you heard it. And so to me, you know, that's the path people go down. And when you look at them and say, no, it's never going to stop hurting, and no, you're never going to get over this, then that begs the next question, which is, who are you, man, and what is this stuff about? Because the thing Matt said to me in the auditorium before I said, hey, let's get out of here, was this. The audiovisual guy comes to get me and says, you should talk to this Marine. And he is in all kinds of states of agitation and fucked up and hungover. And so I didn't know he was hungover, though. And so I walk over and I say, what's going on? And Matt says to me, I can't stay for this shit. And I said, oh, yeah? And he said, I've had too much of this shit in my family, and this stuff does nothing but piss me the fuck off, and I cannot stay for this. I will not stay for this. And that's when I said, why don't we get out of here, man? And then we had a conversation that changed both of our lives. But it's only the truth, man. The truth is your credibility to continue the conversation. And most people that, you know, have gone down the path I've gone down, have gone down the path Matt has gone down, have no tolerance for people pissing down their back and telling them it's raining. So
yeah, that's the thing that gets me is, I've noticed is, you can really tell when someone gives a shit about helping people. Or reaching out or trying to help them out in any shape, way, or form, or you basically say or essentially say that they care. Someone that really cares, no matter how bad it hurts, they're going to be honest with you,
right?
Because they're going to save you more time and your emotions in the long run than they are, you know, just trying to fucking make you feel good and warm and fuzzy right there on the spot. I mean. There's no simple way of putting it, you know. The truth is going to hurt, but, you know, you'll be fine, you know. And then when you tell someone the truth, I mean, it's the truth. There's nothing else. There's only one place to go from there.
Well, you know, and as you found, I mean, let me tell you, man, you're a living example of it. And is there any – I mean, if somebody would have told you that your life – you know what, almost 2 years ago, if your life would be what it is today, back then, what would you have said?
Oh, no, fuck no. God, no. I went on a date a couple of days ago with this chick, and I was explaining her that I would have never, ever, ever, ever fucking said, yeah, this is where I'll be in 2 years. Ever. Right. God, no. Never. Not one time. You told me 2 years ago, hey, you know, you're gonna move back home, spend a little bit of time with family. You're gonna pack stuff up, move to Colorado, go to college, become a therapist. The thing that you hated most growing up, and thing that you hated most until about 2 years ago. I told you you're fucking stupid. Therapy and therapists are fucking stupid, and all of that is bullshit. But now, you know, I'm I'm gonna go be part of the problem. Yeah, I'm gonna be part of the problem and see if I can make a fucking difference.
There you go.
Go in and, you know, I've met a lot of therapists and I've met a lot of counselors that will bullshit you the whole time. Right. They honestly don't have an answer for you.
Right.
And a lot of times there's not answers besides being honest with yourself and being honest with other people.
But what do you know the answer to be? So if you're looking for an answer to make it go away, it doesn't exist. Right. And so when somebody looks at you and tells you that and said, but let me tell you the path to, and let me tell you, man, I use that phrase trauma to joy. And in that little thing that you recorded, you say that. And then I look at everybody and I say, how do you get somebody with that shit in their life to say that? How do you get a Lance Corporal to say that to other Lance Corporals? Because you know how much Lance Corporals suffer that kind of bullshit, right? They do not.
Oh, yeah.
They do not. And I said, so if I looked at him and said, I want you to say this and it wasn't true, you know what he would say to me? Sorry, Matt. I will never say that. Not to, you know, guys who, I work with, I live with, I mean, their respect, you know, if they catch me bullshitting like this, they'll throw me off the second deck, man. or the third deck.
Oh, yeah, they call me a dick sucker.
Right.
You're a fucking dick sucker. You kiss ass. I mean, right. You're going to do...
lied to us,
you're doing
right?
what people tell you.
You lied to us.
You know?
You lied to us. And so,
exactly. You lied to us. Like, you're right. You're bullshitting.
Right. And so, but I look at everybody. If when a guy like Matt Kiker says that, and you've heard all these other people say it, if they can walk down that path, then every one of us can. And that's what seals the deal, right? It's the truth. And then looking at people just like them. I had a Lance Corporal in PFC. I just did it on Monday, 2 days ago. Stood up at the end of it. And I met them about a month ago. And they said, hey, we call Mac at 3:13 in the morning. Because he said we could call 24/7. So we took his ass up on it. And he answered his phone. And we talked for 2.5 hours. And in a month, we just want to tell you how much our lives have changed. We didn't know that there was a path through all this shit. We just didn't know. But now we do. And now, and Matt, what do? They just changed somebody else's life, right?
Oh, yeah. They'll continue to do it. Right. I mean, 100%.
No, I'll tell you what. I remember the first day. Remember when you went and spoke over at New River with us?
Yeah.
Matt, he was like, he comes up to me. And he says,
nervous.
Do you care if I? He said, I'm pretty nervous. I'm like, who cares? I don't care. And then he says, thanks. And he says, do you care if I put a dip in? I said, I don't care. So Matt puts the biggest dip I've ever seen in my life in his lip and then stands up and talks to the Marines of Second Mall. And then at the end, then he stayed for the whole thing because I think one of us was giving him a ride home. But anyway, at the end of it, I'm packing my shit up, and there's these Marines that are talking to Matt. And so I said to him as we're walking out, I said, do you know those guys from boot camp or something? And he said, nope, just wanted to talk. That's how quick it happened.
Yep, I still keep in touch with a few of them. Actually, all of them. I keep in touch with all of them. I couldn't say a few. I reach out to most of them, and then some of them reach back out, and, you know, they'll still talk, you know. They're a lot better. But I actually befriended one, and we still play Xbox, and we talk, and he's actually doing a lot better since he met me, which is awesome.
Isn't it? And let me tell you, I'll tell you, I do the same thing. Like, I'll be looking to send somebody a text and, like, scrolling through my contacts, and I'll see somebody who I met doing post-traumatic winning, and I haven't talked to in a while, and I just hit their name, and I'm like, yo, what's up, motherfucker? And then...
Still, you know, you still reach out to them, because it's weird, you know, I've noticed the thing is, like, when I've helped people out, when I've taught people, and I've gotten people to open up and talk about what's going on in their life to help them out.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily me just helping them out, and it's a job now. It's more of I've befriended them. I've become their friend. But in a positive way, in a good way.
Right.
To the point where, you know, I'm not going to bullshit them. They, for some reason, trust me more than majority of the people with their problems and personal life.
But you know why, though? When you've lived in the blackness and somebody looks you straight in the face and tells you the truth and then says, hey, look, man, I can show you the path. And and then they help you and they do that. I mean, Matt, I mean, this has changed your life, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, 100%. Sure, it's 100%. It certainly has changed my life. And then, I mean, and that's the crazy thing about this shit, man. That's the crazy thing about this shit. So are you fired up that you're going to be in the book?
Be what?
That you're going to be in my book? Are you fired up about that? You're going to be a national celebrity?
Are you writing a book?
Yeah,
are
it's about
finishing it?
It's about 80% written, man. And you're going to be one of the vignettes, like a 2 or 3 page little story about Matt Kiker.
Oh, man.
This is Matt Kiker. You're going to be famous. You can come to the book signing.
I'd love to. I didn't know I was going to be in a book. I'll be in history. In a piece of document.
There you go. So at some point, your ancestors will say, this was my great-great-grandpa. Matt Kiker.
That's if I have kids. I don't know if that.
I just got a text message. Damn it, Mac. Let him give his dressing recipe. Sorry about that. So,
oh, no, I can't. That's a secret. It's a secret.
It's kind of like the the recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Seven herbs.
11.
Now my grandfather actually, before he passed away, he won a lot of competitions with, I guess, dressing competitions with it. And he made it himself. And there's crazy ingredients in it that you would never expect to actually put in dressing.
Like what?
It tastes so good.
Let me name one. Name one of the
milk.
What?
Milk and bread.
Well, bread, of course. Milk?
Milk and bread. Like, you have to have the two together. Like, the milk goes in the bread. Like, it can't just be regular bread put in there either.
Okay. Is it special bread? Is it special Alabama bread? What kind of bread is it?
It's like homemade. Just certain ingredients. Certain, like, you want a consistency, a certain texture, a certain taste.
Listen,
you can't
to
just
you.
Really buy it off, you know, the shelf.
Listen to you. So you are a legitimate foodie, man.
Oh God, yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you another thing. I have a recipe for mac and cheese. I use about six different cheeses. I prefer getting real cheese than, you know, the back cheese because it has a different consistency and texture and taste. It cooks different, melts different, all this good stuff.
Okay, so I do a cooking segment on Fridays, so you got to come back and you could be the celebrity guest chef one of these Fridays, and we could talk about your mac and cheese recipe, right? For about an hour.
That'd be good. I put paprika in red chili season in my mac and cheese. And here's the crazy thing: you would never fucking taste it. But if I didn't put it in there, you would know something's different. Something would be missing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Huge into cooking. Huge into cooking.
Wow. So how did you get interested?
I had to learn how to cook. My mom was
struggling.
Yeah, she was struggling real bad. And I remember the first time I learned how to cook was these Tyson chicken wings, which I wouldn't. I honestly say that I learned how to cook. I had we had a deep fryer, or not deep fryer, but just a regular fryer. And I took these Tyson chicken wings out and I just fried them, and I enjoyed it. And then I learned how to make french fries. And then I learned how to make eggs. And then I made grits and then bacon and then so on and so forth. I just kept going. And I started cooking and helping out and making food for my brother. I mean, and then it got to the point where my mom, you know, that expression the parents would always say, you know, if you don't like my food, oh, well, you know, make something else. And obviously as a kid, you wouldn't do that because you don't know how to cook. But I knew how to cook. So if I didn't like what my mom was making or what she cooked, I'd cook my own shit. And my brother, on the other hand, he's actually just learning how to cook and grill. I can cook, grill. I suck at baking. I don't bake. Not the fondest on baking.
I do. I'll make a homemade cherry pie that would knock your ears off.
I believe that. Yeah. I have to try that.
Yeah. No, I'll give you the recipe. It's my grandmother's recipe. It's awesome. And, you know, like anything else cooking, it's just got to, you know, you got to try it. You got to get in there and mess it up a couple times. You got to figure it out. Yeah. And then, I bake.
Put your own thing to it.
I bake.
The guy Hilliard I was telling you about, one of my best friends in the Marines, he's actually a huge cook as well. And I actually went to Gatlinburg not too long ago and visited him. And we hung out and we were drinking. Pierre the sparkling water, which is hilarious because it's funny. And we're sitting there cooking and making this recipe for this mac and cheese.
Oh,
and it's from scratch, and it's stuck, and it's probably the best mac and cheese I've ever had. And I make pretty often, and it's pretty funny when I go on these dates. You know, I get a lot of people asking what my favorite food is. Honestly, I don't have a favorite food. My favorite food is stuff that I cook, homemade stuff. My food's my favorite food because honestly, it's delicious. It's amazing.
Wow, listen to you. The all right, I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning. I do want to ask you a question, though. First of all, tell us about going to Colorado. So are you going to go there and go to school?
Yeah. So here's the crazy thing. I've never been to Colorado. I've never been. At one time, I've never visited. But for some reason, I've always had this dream to move to Colorado. I've had this dream for since I was young. I saw pictures. I've heard about it. It's beautiful. There's stuff to do. I mean, you name it.
Right.
It's got it.
Right.
It's liberal enough to have a lot of people relaxed and chill there, but it's not liberal enough to, you know, ban guns and, you know, still fuck shit up. You know, it's still a thing. So it's perfect.
So you mean there's legalized marijuana and they're good with that, but they still can have a gun.
Exactly. So like, you know, it's crazy. And I, you know, I get asked, you know, when you get there, you're moving there because you want to smoke weed. Actually, I don't really care for smoking weed, and it's never been my thing. I kind of stay away from drugs. Well, not kind of, I do. I stay away from drugs altogether.
Right.
It don't concern me. And granted, yeah, weed's not necessarily a drug. It helps out with a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong. That's why they prescribe to cancer patients.
Right.
But even then, I don't really care for that stuff. But no, that's not the reason. I've had this dream for so long, and now I'm out of the Marines. I'm out of the Marines, and you know, different states that I've went to, that I've traveled to, you know, places. I didn't have a fucking say so. You know, I didn't have a say so. It was more you're going, and there's pretty much nothing you can do about it. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, didn't question it. You get what you get. You know,
right.
And now I'm back. I'm home. You know, I got some freedom. I got nothing holding me back. I got enough income. I got a plan. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be a therapist. Anything that I can do in Mobile, Alabama with my family here, I can do on my own. And honestly, I do better when I'm on my own, when I'm not around a shit ton of people. And the family that I make and the family that I build, that's the thing I noticed in the Marines, is the family that I built that aren't my blood have more pull and motivation in my own moral state than my actual blood family. When I get around these motherfuckers, we're unstoppable. We're fucking unstoppable. There's nothing you can tell us we can't do. And we fucking do it. That's the thing. But when you come home, and I've noticed when I came home, it's different. It's different. And I'll be fucking damned if I'm going to stay in the place that I really, you know, I love my family. I try to do as much as I can for them, but you know what? I'll be fucking damned if I'm going to come back home to somewhere that I really don't give a shit about for people. Right. And I get their family, and you're supposed to cherish that, but you know what? Life's too short. I've been gone, and now it's time to take, you know, take care of my life. Right. Do what I want to do.
Right.
So I'm going to, I got an opportunity to go out that way. My cousin joined the army. He's thinking about buying a house, started showing me pictures. We said yeah on it, and yeah, I'm about to pack my stuff up here in a few weeks, and yeah, just move out that way. Already got a job lined up, so it's gonna be great. I'm super excited for it. I'm a little nervous, but
no, don't be, man. Don't be. Those tend to be the best decisions you ever make, and you know, and if it's not a good one, then you'll evolve it to a good one, and you'll find your way, man. So you're gonna be over at your grandma's for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I'll be over that way. So
gotcha.
Be able to spend some time with them, and my family doesn't even know that I'm moving to Colorado.
Oh
so,
shit!
Yeah, so I'm gonna drop the ball. I've been waiting for Thanksgiving to drop the ball on them to let them know, hey guys, I got an opportunity. I know y'all want me to stay. I know I just got home. And y'all want me, you know, to live it up with y'all, but
I'm out.
I'm out. I love y'all. If you, you know, I don't smoke, but if you want to fucking come somewhere and smoke and chill, by all means, fucking fly out to Colorado. You know, I didn't know. So it's an international state, right? I did not know this.
Right.
I just found out because my cousin came home. Plane tickets are so much more cheap there for some reason. And it's because it's an international state. There's not really any delays.
International hub. So when you fly to Mobile, would you fly to Atlanta and then down to Mobile? How do you get there?
Yeah, yes.
Every time.
I would fly to Atlanta and then Mobile, but it would cost so much money just for me to come home.
Right.
For the holidays or a weekend. I mean, anything. If I ever had to come home, anytime I looked it up, it was very, very, very expensive. My cousin just flew home. Round trip. His round trip was like $140, and then not round trip, was like $80 from Colorado to Mobile. Not even $100.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, now my family says, well, we don't have the money to come see you. It's a crock of shit.
You could send it. When you become a rich therapist, you could send it to them.
Yeah, exactly. I told him, I'm going to go to college, be a therapist and a counselor. And, you know, it's crazy. My cousins, they love me to death. And I love them too, which is some of them look up to me, which is crazy because of my older cousins. And when I told them that I was going to be a therapist, I'm going to become a counselor and all this other stuff and go to college and psychology, get the degree and help people. Every single time I told them, they laugh and they'll be like, you know, family knows you're an asshole.
Right.
Everyone knows you're an asshole. And I'm like, yeah, I won't deny it. I am an asshole. 100%. I tell them, I'm an asshole.
But
everyone knows you're an asshole, Matt, and which is crazy that you're going to be a therapist. But everyone also knows that you have a huge heart and you care about people and you're honest. And when the family wants honesty, the person they always come to is me and my cousin Chance. When they need, okay, look, we don't know what's going on. We don't really know what to do kind of deal.
Right.
But I need answers. I need to talk to someone that's going to be honest. I mean, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, you fucking name it. They reach out to me, which is crazy.
Right.
You know, my aunts and uncles, they got, you know, they got, well, I got one uncle.
Somebody just sent me a text message. How old is Matt? How old are you?
I'll be 24.
20? Old man.
Yeah, I don't feel 24. That's for sure. I feel my back hurts and my life is hectic and I got more problems than most people I've known. That's one of the funny things I have to explain to women when I start talking to them. You know, they'll be like, "Oh, you know, everyone's got problems." I'm like, "No, listen, you don't understand. I got real problems. Real. I mean, I ain't about to bitch because, you know, I'm not getting paid or my boss is pissing me off. You're gonna catch me up for a couple of days not sleeping."
Right.
You know, and I'll be trying. I'm getting old. I talk to that to my boys. I call them all. You know, I talk to my boys at least once a week, or we reach out to each other. We're always staying in contact, but we talk, and we can't believe how fast time has flown by. And now we are, you know, doing the thing. We're living civilian world life, which is a huge adjustment.
Right.
Huge, huge adjustment. I mean, to this day, I'm still adjusting, and I'm coming up on a year. Wow. Well, you know, we're getting fucking old. Before we know it, we'll be 30.
But you know what, though? But,
and then from 30 to 40 to 50.
The biggest, I will tell you, though, but the biggest adjustment you made, much, much more difficult than going from military to civilian, is you know, the you know, you kind of, you know, embracing post-traumatic winning, right? Knowing that that you can go from trauma to joy. And to
that's the thing I tell myself is, like, if you can, you know, if you can do something like that, I mean, this should be a cakewalk.
Yeah, everything else is if you can walk through that valley of the shadow of death, you know, you can do anything. All right, man, look, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just want to check in with you and catch up with you because people know you that listen to All Marine Radio. They've heard your story. And I just want to tell you again, man, how proud I am of you. One of my adopted sons right here. And just keep doing good shit. You're going to be closer to me. You're going to be on my third of the country, which means we're going to run into each other. And I'm excited about that. So happy Thanksgiving, man.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving from my family to yours. And if Major General Furness is listening, happy Thanksgiving to his family as well. And I hope y'all have a great one.
All right, bud. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for doing this.
All right. You have a good one.
All right, bud. Later. How about that, man? That's a straight-up miracle, that kid right there. We'll take about a 60-second break. Luke Weichel. He's another human being from Alabama. You're going to see a trend in this show today. That's an Alabama trend. So hold on. Luke Weichel coming up next.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I told you you would notice a theme in this program today, and the theme is this song. I'm not sure why Post-Traumatic Winning consistently takes me to the state of Alabama, but it does. And joining me is post-traumatic winner number one, man, on the lineal list, and that is Luke Weichel. Luther, as
Mac,
as his parents named him. But Luke, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, not much. Doing great. I guess it's something in the water down here, something about Alabama.
Is it in the water? Because it's like, so where are you from? Alabama. I'm like, damn it, man. What is it about that state, man? And post-traumatic winning, but it takes me back there all the time. You know, first of all, just so if people don't remember, Luke started listening sometime 2017, 2018, and he's struggling. And he is really – and so for me, I'm learning all the things that really go into post-traumatic winning. And I've done the interviews for going on 2 years – when Luke started sending me crazy ass drunk Lance Corporal. What did you get out of the Marine Corps as? Corporal?
Corporal. Yep.
So crazy ass corporal emails late at night when he'd be drinking. And, you know, like with most of us, you know, the beasts come out. But it was kind of this crossing of Luke's continuing to go down a road as he looked for how do I deal with all this shit, and me learning all this stuff. And so those things kind of cross paths in May of 2018. And I will tell you this. It was May, June of 2018, because our conversation takes place where I say, hey, look, you got to stop drinking. And he says, I know. And then I say, no, I don't mean it like that, man. And then I tell this, and I said, why I said this, I'm not sure. But I told him, I said, I'm giving you an order to stop drinking. And then in the presentation, Luke, you'll find this funny. I tell everybody, now, the number one most likely response from a Lance Corporal who's been out of the Marine Corps for 8 years, when somebody who's been out of the Marine Corps for 3 years gives them an order to stop drinking, is what? Fuck you, man.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Go run somebody else's life. And I look at everybody and I said, but you know what he said? He said, yes, sir. And then I said, and Luke, if you don't think I'll come to Alabama and yoke your shit up, you don't know me. And Luke said, I believe you. And I said, oh, well, you should. And then the rest of the story is on Luke. You know, I mean, he stops drinking. I remember I called him 4th of July weekend. I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, my fiance Emma and I, we're going to go to the lake and we're going to hang out and going to be fireworks and stuff. I said, are you drinking? He said, no. I said, don't lie to me. He said, I'm not. And then the story goes kind of the one and only Libby enters the picture later. But so Luke is post-traumatic winner number one. And so I wanted to have him on this morning and check in with him. First of all, what are you doing with your life, man? You're still going to school, and tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah, in school right now. I'm trying to finish up a aerospace engineering degree, which I was kind of just embarking on when we met. I was still doing the community college level stuff, and it was kind of do or die, man, with the road I was going down. I know I wasn't going to be successful if I didn't get my life straightened out. Cutting the drinking out has definitely been probably the number one attribute to that. Gotten now to where been able to incorporate it a little bit socially now. I'm not a complete idiot any longer. not sitting around, you know, boozing like I was. But we go out with the friends every once in a while. I can have a couple and be responsible about it. I've learned how to do that, which is good. But school's going great. You know, we're kind of in the COVID lockdowns with school right now, so that's kind of lame. I've been, you know, sitting at the house doing all my schoolwork, but it's all good. I'm looking at about, I think, three more semesters, and I should be out of here and have a job and on my way.
Aerospace engineering. Now, for people that don't know, you live in a city that has a background in that, yeah?
Yeah, Rocket City. That's it.
Is that how that idea gets in your head? Did you get – obviously, growing up in Rocket City, which is Huntsville, Alabama, you grew up around that stuff, yeah, all the time.
You can break it up a little bit.
Okay. You grew up around that stuff, yes? All right, hold on. One of us is having a connection issue. I'll tell you what, Luke. Shut the video part of it this off, and it makes it the stream easier, right?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, if you'll shut your video off, it gives the audio more room in the pipe.
Okay, right on. Yeah, let me. Is that better?
That is better. So okay. So it was the major influence in this growing up in Rocket City in Huntsville?
I think so. I mean, my dad being a pilot, growing up around aviation, that's a huge influence. Right. But also, my dad had for the two of us always had season passes to the Space and Rocket Center, which is, you know, the national museum we have here. People come from all around the world to visit. It's where Space Camp is. So we always had season passes there. So it's always kind of, you know, been on my mind. But after the Marine Corps and kind of my life not going anywhere, I needed a new challenge that was something like the Marines. You know, obviously there's nothing to replace, you know, the challenge of becoming a Marine and serving as a Marine. But I wanted to find something that was, you know, outside my comfort zone and maybe something that I couldn't do. So I chose to go with the engineering route, and luckily, you know, hard work, anybody can learn this stuff. So it's paying off for me.
Well, and again, not only, you know, the challenge of being a Marine, but, you know, you went to Iraq,
right.
and fought in Fallujah. And so those come with their own specific burdens. Talk about, so what are you actually going to be, Luke, in your life when you grow up?
Well, I'm hoping to work at ULA, which is United Launch Alliance. They pretty much just about anything that's going into space that doesn't go on a one of Elon Musk's rockets. Basically, it's anything NASA needs launched, it goes on a ULA rocket, and they build them in Decatur, which is just across the Tennessee River. And they're pretty much an entire in-house operation. The only thing they don't produce is the engine, and that comes from Aerojet Rocketdyne, which is down the street. But everything else is done in-house. They do their own launches, recoveries, and everything. So that's where I'd like to eventually like to work at.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, for those of us who don't know shit about it, I mean, that business is booming based on, you know, the success of what Elon Musk has done. I mean,
that's exactly right.
I mean, yep. to watch the things they do now in terms of recoverable launch vehicles and seeing those things like come back down and settle on a platform to be reused, you're like, holy shit, man.
So it's like out of a science fiction movie.
It is. It is. It's like looking at a comic book, but it's actually happening in front of you. And you're like, good God, man, that's crazy. And I mean, and all the different things that opens up as, you know, we bring space closer to Earth, yes?
Oh, yeah. The next 20, 30 years, I mean, you know, we've had such a lull in space exploration and just, you know, everything besides, you know, low Earth orbit stuff with the International Space Station. But I have a feeling we're really about to see, you know, a new space age kick off, and it's going to be really cool to have the opportunity to be a part of that.
That's cool. Cool. You had a chance last night to finally, he got off his dead ass and watch some of Post-Traumatic Winning.
Yes.
What'd you think of it?
It's awesome. I'm almost halfway through, or I'm almost to the end of hour two. I'm really enjoying it. I'm picking up a lot of things. I mean, I feel like I've been, you know, a pretty disciplined listener to the radio show, but just without hinting too much, but just the beginning, how you go through how you got here and you talking about the helicopter crash and really breaking it down, what went on that day, puts it in a whole new perspective. And, Just the whole production of it's done really well, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it right now.
All right, well,
happy to have access to it.
Wait till you get to the part that you star in.
I don't like that kind of stuff though. Watching myself makes me feel weird.
Oh, trust me, I don't like it either. But I've gotten used to it. But you know, you've seen the power of this in your own life, but
that's right.
The other thing you've done, right, is, you know, you've helped other people. And so, I mean, you've lived it. So
right.
It's like, yeah, I'm not that comfortable. Like, oh man, I don't. And like the version I'm producing now has me in it. So I flip on the camera. I'm like, oh, hell no. right. And I'm like, nah, man, you got to do it. You got to do it. And, but the talk about you know. Let me ask you this. I just had Matt Kiker on.
Yeah.
And I think.
Well, y'all got me hungry talking about. Good Lord, man.
Wait,
I'm about to go eat after this.
He's right down the interstate from you. You can go probably have some of what he
probably
made.
Get some mac and cheese from him.
Exactly. But you're familiar with his story. I mean, and your story is a parallel story. It's almost, you know, right down the same interstate that Matt was going down. Would you have believed, knowing where you were 2.5 years ago, that your life would be what it is today?
Not a chance. It's too many of those, you know, just kind of threading the Swiss cheese to get to where I'm at now. You know, usually you look at the Swiss cheese model as a, you know, on the way to disaster, but it also seems to work on coming out the other end too. But it's just too many things in my life have lined up. I guess miracle is a word I could use, but I'm really, really happy with where I am right now. And just things just keep getting better.
Yeah. You know what? It kind of is a miracle, except the coolest part about the miracle is that it's flat black traumatic wisdom, right?
Yep.
That's the coolest part is that, yeah, I would look at you and say, it is a miracle. Your mother looks at you and looks at me and says, it's a straight up miracle. Right.
Right.
And that's your mother is I because see what I thought was I was doing what I've always done in my life, which is to help Marines. And so I'm giving you information that I know that's going to help that I believe because it had helped me and I thought it would help you. But I didn't realize what the transformative power of me giving it to you, the rest of your family seeing it, the impact on everybody. I didn't get that. And your mom was right when she said, oh, you don't understand what you did. Your mom yokes my shit up, right? I say that, right? I never had my shit yoked up by somebody's mom before. But, you know, this chain reaction of – and that's really the birth of post-traumatic winning because post-traumatic winning is a collective event. Post-traumatic growth is an individual. And I say, look, I mean, I'm happy that you're better, Luke, but what the fuck does that do for the rest of us, for all of us?
Right.
Because this is a team event. And until you turn around to give that to somebody, it's only about worth, I think, a third of what it's truly worth.
Yeah. Well, that's the best part of it. I mean, it's not like you got to pay money and go take a seminar. It's not like you got to. I mean, it's simply learning the truth. And then once you're armed with the truth, it's like anything else in life. When you see someone lying about something, you call them out. It's like, hey, that's not true. I actually know the facts on this. You know, you don't just sit there and, you know, let someone run their suck about something they don't know what they're talking about. And it's the same thing with this. If you see someone that's struggling, you've got the truth. And I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there that's hurting that doesn't want someone to pull them aside and tell them what's up. You know, everybody wants that. I know I did. You know, I know for years I was just, I was so, I guess, just kind of quit on myself. I was just hoping someone would come in and help me out or do something. Came into my life. But,
I've thought about that. And what it is you experience these really brutal things in life. And I'll tell you this. We serve with a lot of guys who join the Marine Corps as a way out of really shitty family situations, right?
I don't think that can be really even said enough. Because you're exactly right. A lot of people join the Marines to get away from things. They don't join the Marines because they're just totally stoked on becoming a Marine. You know.
Yeah, I wanted to get the fuck out. So it happened for some of us. It happens to them as children,
right?
And then for others, it happens to us maybe in the Marine Corps. And then what happens is we're looking for how to deal with this shit. And we go looking for answers, and you know what we get? What did you get? You got bullshit, right?
That's right, yeah.
And it doesn't help, and it doesn't make sense. So you went down the path that I would say so many of us go down, which is what? You know, I'm groping in the dark on my own, looking for to get through my days, and I'm self-medicating with alcohol. And I would tell you, that is by far the most oft-chosen course of action in the culture of the Marine Corps, and I would dare say the entire DOD, we self-medicate with alcohol. And then if you look at suicide statistics for veterans, they peak between the age of 55 and 74. Are you kidding me? Well, what happens at that point? At that point, somebody puts on one too many plates.
Yep.
And people crumble because they don't have any resolution. Nobody's ever showed them the path. And that's why this post-traumatic winning thing is so powerful, because entirely based in the truth, look somebody in the face and then challenge them. Okay, now that you know this, you've got to tell other people. You've got to touch other lives. And then, you know, and you're talking to one of the guys who's lived it. And it's amazing. Amazing shit, man.
You know, I think you must have mentioned that in the presentation about that statistic on the ages that people are killing themselves, how old they are.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking back to, we hold, Vietnam veterans in such high esteem for a multitude of things. But one of those things is we're so thankful that, that the way we're treated, the way the GWAT guys, those of us that, the recent wars, we're not treated the way those Vietnam guys are treated, because, the country realized how collectively fucked they were for doing that.
Right.
And it seems like the Vietnam veteran has received, I get more burden than any other warrior of any time. I mean, and it ends with the fact that these guys are still in their, 60s and 70s, they're still killing themselves. They've probably drank for 50 years, and it almost seems like there's just nothing's ever gone right for those guys. And I think, post-traumatic winning, I mean, it's great for guys like me, early 30s, or Matt, in his mid 20s. But I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, or how bad off you are.
If anything, the worse off you are,
the better this is for you.
Or if you were ever in the military. And that's the thing that I've learned. Exactly. I mean, I tell people, I learned this from Marines. I could have learned it from domestic violence victims or child abuse victims. I could have learned the exact same lessons. But this is my tribe, and this is where I learned it. And that ultimately is the beauty of it, is that you can give it to anybody.
Yep, that's right.
I told a little bit ago, I had a Marine call me last night and say, I have a friend who's, really struggling, who was raped. And, I saw your thing last week, Mac. Do you think you could help her? And I said, absolutely I can.
Yep.
We can. Right? We can. You're going to open the door because Luke, you know it. And because I did it for you, and Mike Gunny did it for me. When I told you, you got to stop drinking, right? You knew that was true, right?
I did. Yeah.
And here, but here's somebody who has incredible credibility in your life. My company got it. I knew he would die for me.
Right. Yep.
And so I've always taken that advice to the bank. I've never doubted it. And that credibility opens the door. And then with everything that else that goes through that door, it isn't something that they can say that's bullshit because it's all true. That door stays open and they're willing to listen. And then they experience it. And then the magical thing, though, is talk to me about the first time you helped somebody else. What did that feel like?
It felt awesome, you know, and it was kind of funny because, you know, I wasn't, you know, it was originally he was more of an acquaintance than the friend that he's turned into. But, you know, at first, you know, when I was doing the, hey, you know, let's go in this room over here, man, I want to talk to you and, you know, ask you what's wrong. You know, it felt at first I was kind of nervous to be, you know, kind of pushing my way into someone's private life.
Right.
But the minute I was like, you know, man, you're not acting the same. You know, tell me what's going on. And the fact that this guy doesn't even talk a whole lot to begin with. I mean, we talked more that day than we had in the weeks we'd known each other, you know, through, like I said, through acquaintances, through stuff I do at work. And, I mean, it was amazing and it's turned into a friendship and, you know, and he's had some tough patches since then too, but, it's been great that he's had no problem opening up and talking to me about it. And, you know, when we reaffirm the things we know yeah, it's great, man. You know, and if anything, it usually turns into friendship more than anything else. You know, you're going to make friends with people when you help them this way. Cause why wouldn't you, you know, I can't think of a more friendly thing to do for somebody than try and change their life for the better.
Well, no. And it's like, we both know, this is kind of, I'll use a Catholic term, but this is kind of entering the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, for sure it is.
Nobody, because we don't talk about this stuff, right? And I don't care if you've been raped or if you've been abused as a child. I tell these stories about, you know, people, you know, I did this out in 29 Palms for 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines from Camp Lejeune. They're out there. So I go up there to do it. And everybody leaves. One Marine comes back in the back door 10 minutes later, and he says, could I talk to you? I said, sure. And he said, I've been sexually abused by somebody in my family since I was little, and they told me if I ever talked about it, they would make it worse.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know, and now, again, I'm 40 years older, 35 to 40 years older than him, right? I don't know him from shit.
Yep.
And he's going to go inside, you know, the Holy of Holies that, you know, he's never had anybody go in with. Why? Because you cared about him and you stood up and told the truth about you. And for some reason, you know, he said, I asked him later. He said, well, I heard you talk and I heard, you know, how sincere you were. And I thought he could understand.
Yeah.
And now he's helping other people. And it's just, you, like you said, why wouldn't you be friends?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be friends? And the answer is you're more. I think you're an extremely special friend. You know.
Exactly right. Yeah. Right. You're brothers. You know.
Right.
And like this Marine you're talking about right there, and just the same way you talk about your sister Peggy. You know, once the more you learn about this stuff, also I think the more it. I don't know if humble's necessarily the right word, but definitely whole. Like, man, I'm. You know, yeah, I thought I had it worse, or I thought I've seen some things, but man, I don't want to embarrass myself and open my mouth in front of these absolute, you know, these people who've dealt with trauma that you can't, I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't dream up something like, you know, being sexually abused and then being threatened that it's going to be worse if you ever tell. I mean, like, what? And that's the most piteous thing I've ever heard, right? You know?
Or when,
I mean,
you hear Elizabeth Smart, right?
Yeah.
Who at the age of 14 is raped every day for 9.5 months. And she says, for the ones who have it worse, for the ones who don't come home. And you're sitting there listening to that. Or you listen to John McCain say, well, when I left, it's not, and you'll hear this towards the end after you see yourself.
Okay.
John McCain says, well, it wasn't like I just walked out of 3 years of solitary confinement. Like, are you shitting me? Who could ever be normal?
I know.
It's, right? It's 3 years, 3 years by yourself? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's
and so
it's
you hear that, and it is humbling. It is humbling, but you know what? But it's those experiences that bind us, right? In this culture of trauma. Let me read you a text message. The guy you're interviewing, is this the son of the lady whose audio you played the other day? Me, yes. Oh, frick. I had goosebumps listening. I'm glad you were put in his path and he in yours, exclamation mark. And then I texted, this shit is incredible. And she said, inspirational, heart, heart, heart. The word is inadequate, though. And she lives in Minnesota. She's not affiliated with the Marine Corps. And she just listens because I did my show up there, and she's continued to listen. And she is changing people's lives.
That's right? Awesome.
And
it's great.
It's cool. It's cool. What are your plans for Thanksgiving?
Going to the in-laws and then going to Libby's house. Libby's having the whole Cantrell side of the family over at her house. And then I'll be going over to Emma's mom's house for the in-laws. So I ought to be a full day. Looking forward to it.
Got it. Well, look,
Thanksgiving's right underneath Christmas on my list of favorite holidays.
Come on, man. Underneath, it beats Christmas by a long shot. You're eating all day. You're watching sports. You're hanging out. Nobody's pissed off because they got the wrong present. Come on. My opinion, top holiday of the year.
Oh, no, man. Christmas is still hard to beat. That's I still have a hard time sleeping on Christmas Eve, and I'm 34 years old. And I'm not kidding, man. I get excited. It's like Christmas Day. Got to get up at like 6 in the morning. Even if it's not the same thing anymore. You know, it's just me and the wife and in our own house now. But
let me tell you, I'm
just
the same way.
About it, man. I love it.
No, I'm the same way. When I was a little kid, man, I would be the first one awake. My eyes would like flutter open between 5 and 6.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I would be out of that bed.
I'd be up at 6, yeah, trying to wake them up to open presents. And it's like, we'll be up in a minute. Come on. But yeah, I was the same way. Yeah, come on. It's Christmas morning. Get up.
Got it. Yeah. All right, man. First of all, I got one more email.
Okay.
Hey, Mac, I'd be curious if he had any advice for those of us who have friends that are in those dark places. What would Luke's advice be? Luke?
You gotta talk to him about it. And I haven't dealt with this yet. I'm sure I will though. But especially if it's somebody that's already in your life, one of your friends, if they're resistive to it, you just gotta, you know, push the wall down, man. I mean, what are they gonna do? Not quit being your friend? Now, if it's that bad, where they're like, hey, seriously, get out of my life, then maybe you're not as close as you think you are. But man, if y'all care about one another. And if you're sincere, which obviously you are, if you want to go there, they'll open up. And if they don't want to initially, just keep on pushing it and let them know that, man, I've got answers. I want to share the good news with you. You know,
right.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you're spreading the good news, just like the gospel. And if they're receptive, if they want to have a better life, they'll listen to you.
Well, let me tell you, I think it's that personal credibility, just like between you and I. I mean, and I didn't know you that well, but you had listened to me. You knew enough about me. You knew
I'd already made my judgment on it.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you were going to tell me something. I was going
to
listen.
And when people like that, and that's what you become to other people. When people like that, and I mean, and for Luke, he's a combat veteran, right? Former Marine. When you have that in your resume, you have that kind of personal credibility, and you look somebody straight in the face and you tell them, I think I have something that will help you. In fact, I know I do. When you want to go there, let me know.
Yeah,
a lot of times the first conversation is seed planting, but your personal credibility will open that door. And when you go through the door, the truth keeps it open. And then the last remaining piece is when they help somebody else, and then I won't say you're done, but that's the 90% solution. The rest is all in progressively broadening and deepening their understanding and being there for them and helping them to get through it. And then slowly but surely, man, you have taken them, you've transformed their life. And so Luke is post-traumatic winner number one, man. So again, congrats on your wedding to Emma and what you're doing in school. And can't tell you how proud I am of you. And you know, I see your picture all the time. There's a great picture of you after you came back from Iraq with your mom and your dad and your brother Russell.
I know the one you're speaking of. I like that. Yeah.
No, it's a beautiful picture, and the picture, you could see how happy, you know, in particular your mom is to have you home, and yeah. And it's a great picture. So I see that all the time, right? And Libby's voice is in it, and so you're a huge part of this. And so just want to thank you for doing this today. Wish you happy Thanksgiving, and we'll do this again sometime here in the future.
Hey, thank you, Mac, and everybody who's, you know, everyone who's doing this stuff too. You know, I mean, Matt Kiker, you know, it's, I love listening to him, and shout out to you, Mac. Man, I'll meet you one day, Matt. But yeah, it's just everybody who's you know, on the path that you're leading right now. It's you know, this stuff's going to change the world, and I'm with you. You're going to have a national bestseller, and this thing's going to really explode. I'm just looking forward to every day ahead of us, you know.
Well, that means you're going to be famous then.
I don't want any of that, but no, let's spread this around. You know, let's put this, I don't, if there's any psychiatrists listening, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick here, but let's put them all out of business, you know?
Right. Again, the truth, mental health providers, they're like every other product provider. You got to find the right fit for you. And the problem is so many of us don't find the right fit. And then we judge the whole business and say, fuck it, I'm done with that shit.
Yeah.
That's probably not a good thing to do. It's probably not
very
good judgment.
But
let me just tell you.
Those who need it, you know. DSM-4 diagnosable condition, by all means, you need professional help.
Right.
But if you're like 99% of us, right. I mean, the carburetor's just running a little bit rough, man. You know, we don't need the cylinders replaced or anything. You know, we just need someone to kind of massage us onto the path. That's it. That's all we need.
Well, you know what? That's my experience. And not only, you know, through this, but in my own personal life too. I need somebody to put their hand on my shoulder and tell me they believed in me and I could show you a path. And if you do these things, right, if you learn to coexist, if you learn to live with self-discipline, those are the handrails of this thing. But then there's a hydraulic button over here that raises the whole platform up to there. And you know what that button is? What? That's giving this to other people.
That's right.
So here's the path. These are the rules. These are the handrails. There's the hydraulic button. See that dumbass over there? He went down this path, right? And then the conclusion is, well, shit, man. If that stupid ass went down it, I could do
That's right. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's it, man. Exactly. Hell yeah.
All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving. And,
hey, happy Thanksgiving.
All the best. No, thanks for doing it.
Look forward to talking to you soon, Mac.
All right, bud. Take care.
All right. Take care, brother.
There you have it. Another straight up miracle, man. It's crazy. Now you hear their stories, and it's just inspiring. And again, you could take their traumatic experience, whether Matt's were suicide and all this kind of stuff in his family, and Luke's were in combat, and then fill in the blank. They could have been child abuse. They could have been sexual assault. They could have been any of that. And if you understand that trauma is trauma is trauma, right, then these things can apply to everybody. And so the commandments are the path. And it's a flat black path because those things come from the enlisted side of the Marine Corps. The guardrails are you got to learn to coexist and you got to live with self-discipline. And then the hydraulic button that elevates the whole thing is give it to somebody else. And the hydraulic lift begins to operate. And then it's holy shit. So we're going to take about a 90-second break. And then Libby going to join us. Yeah, Libby, who's going to have the Cantrell side of the family, which must be her maiden name. So we will find out about that. Don't touch that dial. More of All Men Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected.
In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I told you, man, there's a theme today. Joining me is Luke, who you just heard, his mother, Libby Weichel, Cantrell Weichel, I guess, if it's hyphenated. Libby, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Mac, doing real well.
So I heard the Cantrells are coming over for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
That's right, yep.
The you got to pick up your mom who's getting her hair done?
Yeah, my mother, actually it's Luther's mom, my mother-in-law. But that's all right. I told her I'd be there later on, so we're good.
All right. I had Matt Kiker on a little bit ago, and then I had Luke on, and I wanted to have you on just to kind of check in with you and say hi. So, are you a big Thanksgiving person?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm with you. I think the majority of people feel that way about Thanksgiving. It's so much better than Christmas.
Luke doesn't. He likes Christmas. Oh, yeah. He says, I'm a little kid. I like presents.
Yep. Even when he came home from the court, he was at the house for a while on Christmas. Yep. We still got our butts up early.
Come on, man. Celery and dressing and iPhones? Yeah. I mean, you strike me as such a woman of substance to have those kind of shallow opinions.
I love celery. I eat celery. I put cream cheese on celery and eat it. It's so good.
So it's like a potato chip, right? You never said, oh, God, I can't. You want the cream cheese. You do not want the celery.
Listen, I'm just saying, you can't have dressing without celery in it. It just would not be the same.
And iPhones, really? Are you that shallow?
I've never had anything but, well, the old flip phones.
See, I just look, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You just don't know. And I respect that, because when you tell somebody who's got an iPhone, that thing sucks, they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. How could you say it? It's so beautiful. I'm like, yeah, it's not really functional, though. But that's okay. That's okay. What? Talk to me about, when do you guys eat tomorrow? And how many people are coming? And do you like to cook this meal?
Yeah, we're going to eat tomorrow around 4. And I think there's going to end up being around 10 coming last count I had. So I've got a sister that kind of was under the weather. And you know, everybody's so paranoid now. When you get the sniffles, you're afraid you got COVID. So she said she might not make it over. So we're just kind of hanging loose and seeing it. Probably about 10 people, though, yeah.
Got it. And nobody needs a Huntsville SWAT team coming in to like.
Right.
They see you. Exactly. When they see you have more than 9 people. I mean, how silly. Look, I got it. But I mean, there's people that actually, you know, will need law enforcement and first responder help. And for any law enforcement professional that doesn't put that nonsense at the bottom of the list, they should be fired.
Exactly.
They should be fired. Do you have like a personal specialty relative to your culinary gifts for tomorrow?
You know, not really. Thanksgiving is not my best meal. I think about my mom every Thanksgiving. Bless her heart. I miss her so much all the time anyway. But at times like this, I thought, why did I not pay more attention to how she cooked this stuff? Like you say, the bird's nothing to it. And you got stuffing. I'm winging in on that pretty well. Go get a honey baked ham. Can't go wrong with that. You know, honey baked ham, corn peas, mashed potatoes. It's all good.
It's the only art form is a gravy, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's funny. You're talking about that because I was listening intently to Kim on that yesterday because I still haven't made my own gravy. I've cheated and bought it. I bought my backup just in case, but I'm gonna do it this time. It's gonna be good.
I do it, and he kind of like backed off it, but I will tell you this. I think the secret of great gravy is brown sugar.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
That doesn't come from me. That comes from corporal punishment Kathleen.
Kathleen, yeah.
She had serious game on Thanksgiving. So that's what I do.
I'll throw a tablespoon in, then it can't be wrong. I'll throw some in there. See what happens.
No, I'm telling you. So what is you said Thanksgiving isn't your best meal. What is?
Probably, you know, when you and Kim had the thing on a chicken, I make some good chicken tenders, some hot chicken tenders. You can make them, you know, put them on a sandwich or just eat them.
Right.
Barbecue sauce or honey mustard. I make Brunswick stew really well, I think.
Brunswick stew?
Yeah. That's a southern thing for sure. You have to like barbecue. Yeah. You cook your pork shoulder and, barbecue sauce, some corn, lima beans, stew out of it, tomatoes, you know, just cook it in the crock pot all day, and yeah, it's really good.
And then do you put it on top of anything or just serve
just
it as
a snack? You usually make cornbread, have it with cornbread.
Got it. Another little bit of a southern thing there.
Yep, for sure.
Talk to me about, Libby, you've watched all this. I mean, your unique contribution to me is I thought I was given information, and you revealed to me that that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is life-changing beyond what you even understand. So, you know, I just used this morning, and I'm a huge fan of my own, right? And so, but to me, the visual image, and so what I do, and this is why the whole Star is Born thing fascinates me. Bradley Cooper directed that thing, so he's the storyteller in that, right? He writes the music. I saw her interviewed, and you know, everybody was blown away by them singing that song on the Academy Awards, and he choreographs the whole thing. She said that's all him, and I'm like, wow. And so I am really my life now is trying to create and cram into this presentation, right, as many powerful images that I can that you cannot get out of your head.
Right.
So the flat black path, right, is the Ten Commandments. The left-hand rail is learning to coexist. The right-hand rail is self-discipline. Those are the first two goals. But the hydraulic button that you see in front of you on the right-hand side, because most of us are right-handed. I guess there could be one on the left-hand too, but be that as it may, right? That's giving, right? Yeah. And that's what you taught me. And that's the difference between post-traumatic growth, which is, I think, an individual event, and that you're doing better, and post-traumatic winning, which is the collective event, which is now you're impacting other people's lives. And so you've seen this, though. You've seen this in your son.
Yeah, definitely.
What has that been like to watch?
Oh, well, let me start out by saying, of course, I just listened to Luke, and I'm going to get emotional again just listening to him speak, how incredibly proud I am of my son. Anyway, I didn't want to get emotional, but it's wonderful. I think this is part of it too, Mac. You come from the instruction, not instruction, but giving the tools and seeing the results. I'm from the emotional side of dealing with what it has done for him and what your post-traumatic winning does for people that love these guys. You know, like you say, the stories are all so similar. It's unbelievable. But yet there's not a cookie cutter answer to each of them. But there is the one thing that goes through all of it is the truth of what they know they have to do. But I don't know. I'm just getting emotional thinking about it. But that's what I was trying to get across to you, just how much it has helped people that you've helped.
I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, and I play the audio that you and I recorded. I was in Yuma a year and a half ago, I think. It was almost a year ago. I was in Yuma, I think, in January. And I called Libby and I said, hey, I want to record something that we talked about. And but I need it on audio because I need them to hear it. Because it'll sound different coming from you. And she said, okay. So we recorded this thing. I played it the other day on the air. And Libby talks about the email she sent me and our initial meeting and the email exchange. And then, you know, and then I asked her, I think, and there's a beep in the audio. And I tell everybody, I want you to listen to her voice. Okay. This is a woman, right, who saw her son come home. And she wasn't sure what was going to happen to him, right? And that's when you say, you know, I used to lay in bed and say the prayer, please help Luke find joy. And now I say the prayer of thank you. And talk about happy land for a mother to watch that metamorphosis of your own son. Wow.
Well, and you know, and when you were talking to Luke, about your encounter with him, about the drinking and the emailing and texting. You know, everybody in the family received those texts from Luke at night several times. And everyone in the family told Luke, you need to quit drinking, you know. And I'm sure like all those guys, people tell him that. But when he heard it from you and started going down, you know, the Ten Commandments, he started living it. And that made all the difference in the world. It changed Luke, just straight up changed him. And like he was talking about him, he still drinks. You know, he doesn't drink like he used to. It used to be rage drinking.
Right.
Now
right.
You can go out with Luke, have a beer and have a good time. You right. know, he's happy. Right. So it's just totally, totally changed his life and our lives.
I got a really cool email from your son, Russell.
Yeah.
And in that picture of you four, when that I show in the presentation, Russell's in the middle, and I said, and I talk about, you know, about you. I said, can you imagine a mother laying in bed, right? And, you know, and just scared to death that what will befall my son on one of these nights? And then, you know, your husband, Luther, I mean, as you know, here's my son, but I can't get to him, right? Mm-hmm. I give the same advice, right? But I can't seem to get through that. You know, and then I say, but as siblings get to, right, whatever Luke's mom and dad saw, Russell, he saw way more of because he would, you know, you get as a sibling, you get to be there, right?
Right, right. They're close.
And I said, and I got this wonderful email from Russell, I don't know how many months ago. But he just said, hey, Mac, I've never really reached out to thank you. And it's just this really cool email about his big brother and, you know, how do I ever thank you. But, and so to me, I mean, it's been so, and Libby was, I used to call her the tsunami lady. And she, she said, you don't know what you started here. You're going to create a tsunami. And that was before I'd ever done it with anybody. And then when the first week when we ever did it at Camp Lejeune, I mean, she was prophetic. Because exactly what she said happened. And I could hear her in my head, like, man, the tsunami lady was spot on. But she had lived it.
Yeah. Yep, it took off. It's bound to. Just like Luke says, you know, it's just he of course passed it on, is still passing it on. I mean, he's living it. And that brings joy to his life, and he's changing other people's lives, and they're changing other people's lives. Just a true tsunami.
Tsunami. There you have it. All right. What's on the agenda for today? So you got to go pick up your mother-in-law.
Yep. I'm going to cook my dressing right now with maybe not too much celery. My brother doesn't like celery either, but I'm putting it in there.
Well, no, as long as it's finely diced and, you know, and, right? And you're not, I mean, because again, it's like you've never heard anybody say this. God, I'd really like some good Irish food. You never heard anybody say that, right? You never heard people say that? Or I'd really like some good Polish food. You know, you don't hear people say that. You hear Italian food, right? You hear French food. You even hear pizza. You even hear soul food. You even hear Southern food. You don't hear that. So, celery is not one of those things you're going to hear. And I'd encourage you one of these days, like, experiment with your phone, too. If you want to improve the quality of your life. But if you're not interested in improving the quality of your life, I respect that.
I'll just stay in this rut. Thank you. I'm fine.
So what time do you eat? Are you like early afternoon eaters? Are you evening eaters?
Yeah, it'll be around 4 tomorrow afternoon. So what the plan is. We'll see what the turkey does in the oven and when it's done. But yeah, it should be around 4.
Listen,
I was going to tell you, along with your Alabama theme, if you could just have Jack Riley on, it'd be all Alabama all day.
all Alabama all the time. Here's another text message from the same woman in Minnesota. Okay, here's the goosebumps again and the lump in my throat. God, I'm glad I'm listening today. And there's about 9 exclamation marks. The inspirational impact, Libby, of these stories of, you know, people that you would meet, that you would know, that confront the same things you do, right? And then all of a sudden you cross paths with somebody and you think, okay, I can hear Mac yelling at me. Just say, can I talk to you?
You know
there's nothing wrong with you, right? That this is normal. And then that precipitates this chain reaction of that turns out really good. So I wanted to have the lady who taught it to me. Now, I think at some point either maybe it would have dawned on me or maybe I would have learned it from somebody else. But this is the woman who taught me about the winning part. Up until that point, it was information. But Libby's the person that taught me about the transformative nature of this thing that I've learned how to do and tried to give to so many people. And I tell another funny story, and that is the first week we did it, Josh Goldberg was with us. And so he looks at me and he says, so Mac, you're obviously a Frankl guy. And I said, who's Frankl? Like, who's that? And he said, Viktor Frankl. I said, what is he, a Russian hockey player? The Red Wings have a bunch of those guys. Does he play for them? And he looked at me and he said, you don't know who Viktor Frankl is. And I said, oh, am I stupid? And I think I said, Josh, you're dancing to the edge right now. And he said, where did this giving thing come from? I said, Libby Weichel in Huntsville, Alabama, Luke Weichel's mom. And then Josh says, so you came to this conclusion after a conversation with her? And I said, oh, I think I got very smart all of a sudden, did I, Josh? And he said, well, I'm not going to go there, especially because she's the one that made you realize this stuff. But it's one of the things that endears this post-traumatic winning thing to me so much, because all of it comes from, you know, Marines and the mother of a Marine. And you're hearing her voice today.
And I wish I could speak as eloquently as Luke does. He's amazing, isn't he? I'm so proud of him.
Well, you know what the eloquence is? When you speak from your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And he does that, that's for sure.
Well, you're not bad at it either.
Well, we love you, Mike. But really, you've been such a good friend to our family, and you're always in our prayers. You're doing good work. It's so wonderful that the path that you're on with it is just amazing. I'm so proud of you, how you're expanding and, taking it farther and farther with a book, with a series. It's going to be excellent.
And I just, again, I did it on Monday, and I saw two Marines, Lance Corporals, young guys, stand up in front of 150 people. They both told me, one of them told me I was shaking when I was talking.
Yeah.
And you're watching them go down the same path that Luke has gone down. And I'm standing against the wall watching him, you know, and I'm smiling inside, like, you know, I call them my adopted sons, right? These guys, and because they are.
Yeah.
And you're seeing them have this trans this transformative experience, one they will never forget in their lives, where they begin to help other people. And they've lived in this darkness. They've dealt with this stuff for so long. It's been so hard on them and their families. And you're seeing them take this step that I've never seen anybody turn around and walk back from. And it's right. just and this is the woman who enabled a lot of it. So the patron saint of post-traumatic living, Libby Cantrell Weichel. So, Mac. Libby, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for doing this.
Same to you, Mac, and your family. You guys stay safe, and we'll be talking soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
There you have it. How cool is that for a fun day, a cool day of of Almarine Radio? I don't script this stuff. I don't do any of that. It's just these are they, and honestly, it's the pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. So that'll do it here. I gotta go get my dressing ready, and then I gotta go work out. Thank you very much for listening on the day before Thanksgiving. As I said before, if you're getting ready to brine a turkey, go ahead and bust out Kim's instructions from Monday. And good luck with that. And then if you want to know the timeline and how to sequence, how to use crock pots to keep your kitchen clean and orderly, and what to do with your gravy, how to make it so that you won't screw it up, then listen to yesterday's program. Most importantly, have a great Thanksgiving. Yeah, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And then finally, over the course of this holiday weekend, if you're listening and you hear somebody struggling, do not be afraid to reach out to them and say, hey, can I talk to you? And as you've heard today from people that have walked down that road, if you'll say that, that opens the door. And then the powerful truth that's contained in post-traumatic winning keeps the door open. It keeps the door open. And then the magical moment is when they look at somebody else and say, can I talk to you? And once that happens, it's crazy good. So anyway, on this day before Thanksgiving, have a great day. Almarine Radio, wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Don't be afraid to change somebody's life. And we will be back on Monday. So have a great holiday weekend. I am out.